Just to clarify, this show is now called White to See Radio. It used to be called R3 with JH, and then it was Half Past Presents R3 with JH. I didn't like those names, so I went back to White to See Radio, which was the name of my original podcast back from 09 with my wife, which then became Half Past Adventures. So that show is no longer White to See Radio, but the show is now White to See Radio. You're going to hear me call it R3 with JH, you're going to hear me call it Half Past Presents R3, but really the show is White to See Radio, and you're going to hear this intro for a long time because I record like 35 episodes. Enjoy.
John, you're a dork.
You know, there's this long-standing joke in my relationship with my wife, my lovely co-host Kaylee, where every time, so we started dating in September of 06, and we got married in February of 07. So, you know, there's a quick turnaround there. But every time we hit, like, let's say we hit 4 years being married, within like a month or two after that, people would say, how long have you been together? And she'd say, oh, we've been married 5 years. She would just round up quickly because we'd been together, whatever. And it's like, I always like, Kaylee, we just hit 4 years. We're not 5 years yet. So it's a long-standing joke with that. And so when we hit 9 years, like it's like 2 weeks after our 9-year anniversary, people are like, oh, how long have you been together? You know, because it comes up in conversation. Because, you know, when you have 5 kids, people ask, oh, 5 kids? How long have you been together? How many are yours? That kind of bullshit. But she was saying 10 years. So it was last year. And we've been together for now for 12, 13, 14 now, 12 years, 13 years. And, you know, she, 12 years. I know how long I've been married. I'm just fucking around. But, I mean, the joke, she goes, oh, you know, she said 13 years. I say, oh, man, mine's will be 20. Now the long-standing joke of how long we just go back and forth. Oh, might as well have been, might as well be 15, might as well be 20, might as well be 50, I don't know. You know, it's silly. I like it. Anyways, this episode of R3, sub-show of Haphazard, which is basically me in a car talking to myself because I get bored and I apparently like to talk to myself, is about marriage and thoughts on marriage. And if I remember right, I kind of talked myself into a hole on this one, but that should be fun. So, I mean, who doesn't want to listen just to a guy who's been married for a decade talk about marriage, right? Clearly, I have all the answers. I don't have any of the answers. Anyways, here we go. Marriage. Marriage.
You're a part-time lover and a full-time friend. The monkey on your back is the latest trend. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else. But
kiss you on the brain in the shadow of a train. Kiss you all starry-eyed, my body swinging side to side. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else.
Welcome back to another episode of Rants with John in the Car. That's not what the show's called. R3 with J8. That's what the show's called. Today I am driving, as I almost always do in this episode. On this show, I'm almost always driving because that's where I have the ability to, you know, collect my thoughts. So where am I going today? I am going to pick up my wife, the amazing and wonderful co-host of Haphazard Adventures, the co-creator of Jonely Nonely, the one, the only, the Kaylee Horsley, because she is the most beautifulest and smartest, and I said those that way on purpose, I swear, girl in the world, and she missed her train stop. She was working on the train and did not get off at her proper stop, so now I have to drive freaking 38 minutes out of the way to go pick her ass up, because that's what I do. So, what are we talking about today? I don't know. I'm sure if you read the title of the episode, you'll have the idea of what we're talking about today, but I'm just going to kind of wing it, and I'll make the title of what the topic is once I figure it out, because I didn't think about that before I pressed record. Let's talk about marriage. Have I talked about marriage yet? Marriage. We'll do marriage. I don't think I've done marriage yet. If I have, marriage part two. But if it hasn't, marriage part one. Whoa, was a car in the ditch. Shit. Maybe I should pay attention. This car's in the fucking ditch everywhere. So, marriage. Marriage is something that I always wanted. As a kid growing up, I was that kid who was 12, 13 years old, picking out names for my kids, picking out names for my wife, actually. Like, oh, I want to marry a girl named Claire or a girl named this. You know, I was big on the name Claire for some reason. The name Claire for me was just like, and I know why. It was from Claire Redfield from Resident Evil 2. You know, I love the name Claire. I love that character. So I'm going to marry someone named Claire. But, you know, I was always big into the whole family life as a kid. I had good parents. I had a good upbringing. There was issues, obviously, as there always is. But, you know, for the most part, I had a good childhood. And I grew up, all I wanted to do was be a dad and be a husband and find a wife and settle down. I mean, not really settle down. Find a wife and settle up, you know, and do some wild shit, some fun shit. So, you know, I dated a My friends used to call me a serial monogamist because I would just go from long-term relationship to long-term relationship. I guess LTR, right? LTRs are called. Later. I really didn't, though. I did one girl for 2.5 years, and then I did some other girls for, like, 6 months. I don't think 6 months is a long-term relationship, but, you know, I'd take, like, 2.5 years off from dating, and then I'd go back and date someone for 3 months. And then I met Kaylee. And I'm pretty sure I've told this story before, if not on this show, then on Haphazard or on Spoiler. But, you know, I met Kaylee working at a bowling alley. I had, people honking. What the fuck's going on? I don't know. I had opened a business with my sister and my dad in 2001, selling comic books and collectibles and shit. We'd go buy used comics and stuff from people online. And then we would, open up a retail spot with Diamond Comics, Diamond Collectibles, and then we're selling new comics, new collectibles. We'd go to cons, we'd sell on eBay, we'd sell on a website, all kind of fun stuff. And I had done that from pretty much like 2001 up to 2006. And then my dad at Comic-Con, he had this spot on his hand, and he went home early and turned out that it was cancer. And my dad ended up getting cancer, and we decided to slow the business down, get real jobs to kind of pay the bills while my dad was recovering. And unfortunately, he never fully recovered and ended up passing away from it, you know, 6 years later, 2013 or 2012. But, you know, it's beside the point of this story. So, I mean, I'd gone back to work. And when I was younger, I had worked at a bowling alley. And, well, there are some people screaming out there. What the fuck? The car in front of me is screaming at the car in front of them. What is going on? There's a guy in a truck in front of me and then a girl in a car in front of him. They're just screaming at each other. I don't know. Anyways, so I go back to work. And when I was a kid, younger, my second job was at a bowling alley. I worked the front desk and I worked the back and I worked all these places at a bowling alley. And so I figured, well, if I'm going to go back to work, I'll go back to what I know. So I went back to the same bowling alley, which had changed owners, and got a job at the bowling alley. How many times can I say fucking bowling alley in that sentence? But I went back to work at the bowling alley and got, there it is again, a job at the front desk. And then, you know, front desk job, worked there. I worked the graveyard shift because I didn't care. I was like, I'll work graveyard shift. I was still doing the business and I was still doing band stuff and some comic stuff during the day. But I went to the front desk. And then after a while, I ended up getting a promotion, quote unquote, over to the security team to where I could work different hours. And that's when I met Kaylee, who was also working there. She worked in the cage. Oh, fucking eat gas. Oh, good gas up here. She's also working in the cage. The cage, not like cage girl dancing, but cage isn't like the cashier at the casino portion of the bowling alley. And we started, as I was sitting at the podium, which was where the security guard stood in front of the bar to check IDs and shit, and right by the pool hall. And I would, she would talk. She came over and she would talk to me and this guy, Travis. And then she ended up slipping me her phone number one time. Like, hey, you know, if you want to ever text while you're working, while I'm in the cage, you know, feel free. If we're working or something. I'm like, okay, cool. She wants to chat. And then I'm not going to go into the full gritty nitty details of how we got together, but I'll just, you know, we started talking and then like I was dating this girl, Jen. And then Jen went home to Ohio to see her family, ended up hooking up with her ex-boyfriend. I ended up telling Jen, you know, I wouldn't bother coming back to Seattle because you don't have a place to live. I'll mail you your shit, go somewhere else. I'm not picking you up. So I ended up mailing Jen her shit home. And I ended up telling kids, I was like, hey, you know, my girlfriend cheated on me and we're broken up now. Going to San Diego for a week. Then I'll be back. Well, see if we can hang out then. So I went to San Diego for Comic-Con for a week and then came back and we ended up hanging out a bunch when I got back, and became really close really quick. And that was like in end of July, early August. And by middle of August, we were kind of seeing each other, kind of pressing those boundaries, seeing, you know, going on dates and stuff. You know, she already had Cody and Jacob at the time, my two eldest boys. So I was kind of like into the dad, which was great. And then by September 1st, we were officially together. And then by November 19th, we were engaged because I had decided that I wanted to spend my life with this woman because she was amazing and her kids were amazing. And I wanted to be 100% part of that shit. So we took a trip. It was funny. I only been dating her for like a month, and her grandma and her and the two boys were going on a trip back east to Connecticut and stuff. And she asked her grandma, like, oh, well, can John come with us? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. So her grandma, after only knowing me for a month and a half, bought me a ticket to go to Connecticut with them which was weird but cool. So while we were there, some shit happened at her aunt's house, and her grandma ended up flying home, and then we ended up keeping the rental car and driving to New York to see my friend Kathy. And we stayed there for a while, and then while we were in New York, and we did all the touristy stuff, we went to Times Square, we went to Ellis Island, we went to the Statue of Liberty. And one night while we were laying in in Kathy's guest room, Jacob was asleep in his playpen because he was only like 9 months old at the time. And Cody was on the floor watching Cars on our little portable DVD player. Kaylee and I were laying on the freaking futon, and I asked her to marry me. But it was funny because I was like, so this is a horrible story. And I still feel Kaylee still gives me shit about this today, about my proposal being fucking whack and dumb. But it's memorable. She doesn't forget it. She talks about it all the time. So we're laying on the futon, and I look at her and I go, so we should get married. She goes, yeah, cool. And then I go, there's a long pause, and I go, so do you want to call your mom or anything? And she's like, wait, what? You were serious? Like, yeah, I mean, I think I was serious. Or are you not serious? And then she's like, yeah, we're serious. So then it kind of laughed it off, and we talked it out, like, oh, are we actually serious about this? Do we actually want to get married? We've only been dating for, 2.5 months right now. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm into this. I'm in it to win it. And she's like, yeah, me too. So we got engaged on November 19th, 2006, and then we were married February 3rd, 2007. So we ended up planning and setting for and figuring out how to pay for our wedding in those short couple of months. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it's been blissful the entire, 11, 12 years we've been together, but I will say it's one of the best decisions I've ever made was to marry my best friend. But it was super quick. We went from basically September to February from being freshly dating to married, which is so quick. I don't recommend what I did to anybody, but I honestly think once you know, and when you know, like, and there's no reservations, there's no looking back, And that's different than a lustful love. It's been get into it. And, I know what I want. I guess this is it. And for me, Kaylee was it. And we've had fights. We've had some big fights. She's asked me to leave the house once or twice, and I've said some not nice things to her once or twice. But all in all, we have a very, very good marriage. And I think the key of having a good marriage is being honest and open with each other. Like, there's not a lot, if anything, that I feel like couldn't tell her, Like, the things I wouldn't tell her are just stuff, just insurmountable stuff that wouldn't matter. Like stuff about the comics that I'm doing or stuff that she wouldn't really care about, I wouldn't necessarily tell her. But if it's about, I'm not going to not tell her about something important, Like, I don't keep secrets from her. If I don't tell her, it's something inconsequential. And from my point of view, she does the same thing with me. If it's important, she tells me. If it's not important, then she lets it go, because it doesn't matter. One of the hard things we have, one of the struggles we have with our marriage is we're both kind of hard-headed. And when we get in fights, she likes to just say, fuck it and fuck off and walk away. And I like to try and push the buttons and not really push the buttons, but I mean, it's what I do. I don't on purpose push buttons, but I push the buttons because I want to talk it out, right? I don't want to leave things mad. I want to talk it out. I want to go to bed mad. I don't want to end a conversation being pissed off with someone. And she wants to often just leave it alone and sometimes come back to it later, sometimes never come back to it. So that's kind of where we fudge heads and butt heads on shit. And that's frustrating, but I mean, it is what it is. At least it's better than, nobody throws shit and hits each other. No, we've never, ever once gotten violent, which I get how people can get violent when they get mad. It is what it is. All right, I'm going to pause here and get gas. All right, I'm back and all gassed up and ready to go. I was way too enthusiastic to come back from that. So I don't want to make this episode all about, my marriage to my wife and that kind of fun stuff. I kind of want to talk about marriage in general and kind of the idea of marriage and the premise behind it. And not really the premise behind it, but like the what's up for. So, I mean, originally, obviously, marriage wasn't really about love, right? It was about a union between usually two families, and there was some kind of monetary value. A lot of it was fathers basically selling the daughters off for land or for cattle or, in the rich people world, to secure peace between nations and stuff like that. Like, marriage wasn't really, it was more of a financial transaction than it was a love transaction. I mean, there was people who married fell in love and got married or found a way to be together, obviously. I mean, there's so many love stories throughout the ages that tell, I mean, fucking Romeo and Juliet and all that shit, right? So there's a lot more than that, but you know, there's all the love, the great tragedies and the Shakespeare's and the love stories and the tales of On Request or Love. It's all out there. So we know people fell in love, you know, throughout the ages. But a lot of times, marriage wasn't about that. Marriage wasn't about being in love. Marriage was a transaction. It was about securing certain things and for the family, and you had to live with it. And you know, you didn't get to choose who you married a lot of the time, or even if you did, if you fell out of love with them, you didn't get to leave them. Like, people always, it's what I think is hilarious about people is like, oh no, the divorce rate's so high these days. Well, you know, the divorce rate's so high these days compared to what it was before, because people can actually get divorced now, not have to fucking kill themselves, not have to, you know, live their life in fucking pain because they hate the person that they're with because they've changed or they never wanted to be with them in the first place. We have the option, or not we, because, you know, being a white male, I've always had the option to leave whoever I wanted to leave. But, you know, females, and I guess some, because, you know, it was very much shunned upon in the church to get divorced. But, you know, it's a matter of freedom now that you have that right to get divorced if you want to. And if you don't, then you don't have to, obviously. And whereas before, people didn't get divorced because you weren't allowed to. You know, if you got divorced, you were a bastard child. Not technically a bastard child would be if you were on your parents were unwed, but you know, you were shunned from the church. You were looked down upon by your peers. You know, it was blasphemous to get divorced or to leave your loved one, to leave your husband or your wife. So people didn't do it. And you know, there's a lot of child brides out there, people who would marry these 14-year-olds or 12-year-olds from different families to secure whatever. You know, these 20, 30-year-old men would get a child bride, a young teen or teenage bride, because they could afford to give the father some land or some cattle or something in return, a dowry in return for their daughter's hand in marriage. It usually wasn't for someone their age. It was for someone a lot younger. So really, people who were on the religious side, like, oh, marriage is a sacred bond, love between man and woman, blah, 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 blah. That's just a whole line of bullshit. I mean, I can't. Anybody who picks up a damn history book or just does a Google search and like researches the history of marriage and how it's been dealt with in different tribes and different countries over the last several centuries can easily find out that it's not some sacred bond between man and woman and a covenant with God. It's a holy transaction or an unholy transaction to secure peace, secure rights, to secure land, to secure cattle, to secure products and stuff. People's daughters were used as commodities to make ends meet. And that's fucked up. And the fact that we hold people to this religious standard today that never freaking existed, and people are on one side of the coin are using it as, oh, marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. We can't let gay people get married because it goes against the sanctity of the Bible. Fuck you. No, it doesn't. Nothing about that is in the Bible. Anymore, marriage is a freaking contract, a legally binding contract that you sign with someone saying, I love you so much that I'm willing to bet half my shit on this, you know, unless you have a prenup, which that's totally different. If you have a prenup, then what's the point of getting married? I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. I've never been in a situation where a prenup made sense. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have anything worthwhile. Although now I do realize that since a lot of the comic books I've created have been since I was married, that I think that technically means Kaylee would own half the IP for those if we ever got divorced. But we're never going to get divorced. It's not going to happen. Fast forward. That would happen. No. I mean, if it ever does, it'll be fucking horrible. But it's just a matter of, you know, it's a legal transaction. You got to go into it with that mindset. You know, you get married for love, but there really isn't a purpose to getting married anymore. It just makes it legally binding that you love them so much that you're willing to make it harder to leave them, essentially. And that's kind of interesting to me. Because I have friends who don't get married, you know, and we have friends who are married. I have friends who have been divorced. I have friends who are on their second marriages, as we all do. Me, I'm still on my first and hopefully my only. But who knows? You know, it's some people get married and it ruins the relationship, you know, because it puts that permanency on it. They can't walk away. Some people stay out of being married and date the same person for 30, 40 years or until death. And that's great. I think, honestly, for marriage, it's got to be your choice or you and your significant other's choice. Let me try that again. You and your significant other's choice, whoever that may be, on whether or not you want to get married and you want to sign your rights away, essentially, to saying if you ever want to split up, it's going to cost you half your shit, or it may cost you, you know, lifelong child support if you have kids, or alimony if that's what your state has in it, or some shit like that, which that's a whole other story. I mean, child support and alimony I could talk about in various ways. Both sides, actually. I'm kind of in the middle, but I kind of have thoughts both ways on those ones. Just because. But it's a matter of, I don't know. Because, like, I think marriage, getting married is a beautiful thing. I mean, obviously, it's worked for me so far. And I hope it works for me forever. I'm fully committed to being with who I'm with the rest of my life. I mean, no doubts. But, you know, anymore, it's like, if you want to, do you have to get married? And do you have to sign a contract to say, I love you forever? Let's pause for a second and I'll be right back and we'll talk about that. All right, I'm back. Don't quite know where I'm at, where I'm going, but let's keep going on this. So marriage is a contract. Is it worth it? I go back and forth on this because part of me is like, well, if you love somebody enough, the marriage portion doesn't matter, right? You don't have to get married to prove you love someone. However, I also think about it as, you know, if you really want to make that grand gesture of, yes, I love you so much, it's never going to end, saying, hey, I'm betting half my shit that we're going to stay together forever is kind of a big deal. But I don't know, you know, I had this thought going into it of what I was going to say here about this. But now I'm just like, I don't know. It's not for everybody. It really isn't. Like, marriage is not for everybody. But does that mean it's good or bad? I don't know. You know, I think marriage can be great for some people. I think for other people, it can be horrible. Some people just can't function in a marriage. Some people don't know how to. Some people get in that permanency and it just freaks them out and it throws them into whirlwinds of bullshit and they just can't fucking handle it. Other people do really good in marriage. I think the biggest thing about marriage for me, it'd be curious if someone wanted to count the times that I say marriage in this episode and let me know, because I'm sure it's been a ton. Make a drinking game out of it, sure. For me, you know, I've always wanted to be married. I told you that before in the beginning. I always wanted to have a wife and have kids. I've always wanted to be a family man, along with, you know, being a rock star, being a comic book creator. You know, it's always been my dreams. And I got one of them. I mean, I'm a husband. I think I'm a successful husband. I think I'm a good husband. You have to ask Kaylee about that one. And I'm a father to 5 wonderful kids, and I think I'm a good father. I mean, I love my kids. They are my entire world. Nothing comes before them. I will cancel plans for anything I'm doing if it involves something I have to do with my kids instead, or something my kids want to do instead. Not that they want to do instead, but like, something's more important. Like, if the kids have some school event or some recital or game they're playing, you know, if I will, that comes before, you know, doing podcasts or doing comic book stuff, because to me, my kids are the most important thing in my life next to my wife. So why wouldn't I put them first? Now, there are times where it's like I'm not going to say I've gone to every single game and recital they've ever had, because I've gone to damn near all of them. But, you know, sometimes I don't need to go to every game and practice for a 6-month season of baseball or whatever. You know, I go to most of them. I mean, if we're being real here, I do go to like 95% of the kids' stuff, just because that's how it works out. That's what happens. But I mean, I'm not going to fret off if I miss one or two here or there. But the important ones, and most of them, I'm always there for. And I think you should be. I think parents should make the effort, but parenting is a whole other topic. But I'm talking about marriage here. And then about marriage and kids, you know, I mean, that's kind of jumping topics here a little bit, but it's the same, you know. Some people have issues. You know, if you get married to somebody who has kids, then all of a sudden you're a step parent, and some people can't handle that. I have friends who couldn't handle, they straight up told me, I can't handle being a step parent. I don't want to deal with the responsibility, because I'll be honest, I am a stepdad. It ain't easy, man. Coming in as a step parent ain't easy. There's a level of respect, and I have it better than most stepdads, mainly because the kid that I am a stepdad to was 3 months old when I met him, and 11 months old or 10 months old when I got married to his mom. So I've been there for pretty much his whole entire life, and I've been a dad to him in more ways than you can imagine. And I treat him and think of him as my own son, as you should. And I have my eldest son, who is, it's a long another story. I'm technically kind of like a stepdad to him too. I've been in his life since he was 3, and it's been, you know, it's been amazing. He's awesome. So, but I mean, that being said, a lot of people who come in as stepdads when the kids are 5, 6 years old and have the mom and the dad have, you know, a tortured relationship, and it's hard for them to get along, and you're this new person, and it can be difficult, man. There are times where right now I'm having to deal with one of my kids who is idolizing his biological dad for everything. and not realizing what effect that has on everybody else in the family, especially since the things that he's idolizing his bio dad for are things that his biological dad talks to me about and learns and then talks about, which is fine. But then, I don't know, I'm getting too specific, so I don't really want to go into it, but a lot of the stuff that like he should be coming and talking to me about because it's my interest and things that I've taught him on, all the credit, quote unquote, is going to this other person, the biological father, which, I mean, whatever. It just, it gets frustrating to always have things that you do and you come up with and never get the credit for it. But that's part of being a stepdad. You know, you'll, no matter how much love you give the kids, no matter how much love and care and amount of your time you give your stepkids, there's always that aspect of you're not the biological father, you're not the real dad, you know? And I've that's hard to come to grasp with, especially someone who gives their all to all of their kids, regardless of who their birth parents were. You know, it doesn't matter to me. It's, you're my kid, you're my kid, and I'm going to raise you that way. So that's that. I don't really want to go into too much more specifics because I don't want to say anything I regret, because I am on good terms with his dad. We are friends and we do talk, and I have nothing, I don't hold any grudges against him. Even given some checkered stuff in our past, I don't really hold any grudges against him at all. I think he's a good guy. So I'm going to end that there because I don't want to fuck myself up. But, you know, marriage, I don't know, man. Let's end this out on a high note. I love my wife. I think that if you get married, you need to get married for your own reasons. I don't think anybody can tell you what those reasons are. I say that I'm going to give you reasons, but I think that you should get married because you love the person you're with, and you literally cannot see yourself with anyone else. Like, you get excited at the sound of their voice. You get more than excited when they talk to you. They can say certain words or certain phrases to you, and it just makes you steam with emotions and good emotions. And, you know, you have this warm feeling when you're around them. And even when Kaylee and I fight and we argue and we separate, and like one of us goes to her mom's house, or I go to my mom's house, we just like separate for like a day or a couple hours to vent out. And because sometimes being apart from each other is just what you need to feel better. I'm so freaking mad at her, but I just want to see her again. I just want to have her in my room again, be with me again. And even though we're mad at each other, I just want to be around her, you know. And even when I'm like, oh, I don't want to be around you, then we're not around each other, I'm like, oh, I just kind of want to be back with you, you know. It's kind of visceral actions that you gotta, I don't know. That's me, I guess. That's me. I think it's different for other people. I can't say that other people have that or don't have that or should have that. I just know for me, that's what I have. And I feel like I'm just gushing about my wife, and I do want to do that, but I don't want to do that at the same time. So I'll end this out by saying that I don't have an opinion that you should take on a marriage. You should take your own opinion on marriage. My opinion works for me. My opinion works for people like me. It worked for my wife, apparently. We love each other dearly. And I think that if you want to get married, get married. And if you don't want to get married, don't. Don't let anybody talk you in or out of it. And when it comes to your friends, your family, your parents, your loved ones, other people around you, you get married for you. You get married for yourself. You don't get married for anybody else. You know, it doesn't, you can take into account what your friends and family say, what your parents say about the person you're getting married to. But ultimately it comes down to, is this what you want? Is this what your spouse wants, your future spouse wants? Do you two want to commit your lives to each other? And if you answer that question is yes, even though there's this issue or there's that issue, or your mom doesn't like this, your dad doesn't like this, your best friend says this, if it all comes down to the fact that yes, I, in spite of all that, I love this person, then get married. Fuck it. Do it. Or don't. It's up to you. All right. And on that, I'm out. Peace. I should think of a kind of outro for this. You can check me out on my podcast here at R3 with JH and on whatever platform this is on. You can hit me up on I should say my Twitters. My Twitters. YGCL on Twitter, YGCL on Instagram, other podcasts, Haphazard Adventures, and Swill Country. Check them out. They're awesome. All right. Thanks. Bye. Peace.
You're a part-time lover and a full-time friend. The monkey on your back is the latest trend. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else. Bye.
kiss you on the brain in the shadow of a train. Kiss you all starry-eyed, my body swinging side to side. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else but.
Here is the church and here is the steeple. We sure are cute for two ugly people. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else but.
Forgive me, the trees forgive me, so I can't you forgive me. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else but.
I will find my niche in your car with my MP3 DVD rumble back guitar. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else but.
Do 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 do.
B-A start. Just because we use cheats doesn't mean we're not smart. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else but.
You are always trying to keep it real. I'm in love with how you feel. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else but.
We both have. What anyone can see in anyone else but.
Don Quixote was a steel driving man. My name is John, I'm your biggest fan. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else but.
Cringed up the face and did a dance. Shook a little turd out the bottom.
Do 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 do.